Oh, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship service this Sunday. I would like to thank Steve for the opportunity to share the Word of God with you this morning. I will be sharing some things that I've learned recently and some of my experiences as a disciple of Jesus for 23 years in the faith. I hope that this will be helpful to all of us. At least this scripture structure will be. Amen. I have a son. He's 10 years old. He likes playing basketball. And a couple of years ago, at the end of his basketball season, he ran into Mr. Todd Reynolds. And Mr. Todd Reynolds asked him, "How was basketball season?" He looked very discouraged. And he looked up and told Mr. Todd that they had lost all games during that season. So he was very, very discouraged. So Mr. Todd, with his wisdom, asked him, "So at the end of the basketball season, were you a better player than the beginning?" So he stopped, pondered, and answered Mr. Todd, "Yes, I was." And then Mr. Todd said, "That is all that matters. All the practices and even the games that you lost, all those things were not in vain. As a matter of fact, the following year, the team came back and was undefeated during the regular season, went on to the All-Star, it was also undefeated." So I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like that spiritually. At the bottom, like the Lakers, or at the top, like the Warriors. And here in Exodus 13, as God's people live in Egypt on their way to the promised land, the Bible says that by day, the Lord went ahead of them. And by night, the Lord went ahead of them. I'm not sure about you, but sometimes I have to encourage myself. And I have to remind myself that I am on the way to the promised land, that's heaven. And that God is with me day and night. Every scripture read, every prayer prayed, every word of encouragement given, all these things help us build a spiritual house on earth as we prepare, hopefully one day, to go to heaven. In today's workplace, there's a movement called work and life balance. Yeah, you don't want to go to one side, to the extreme, and you don't want to go to the other extreme. I guess in the U.S. here, by the way, I'm from Brazil, so I've learned some slangs. You know, want to find the sweet spot, I guess is the I tried to translate that to Portuguese. It doesn't work. You want to find the sweet spot. And believe it or not, I used to surf. Yeah, I used to. In the past tense. It required some balance. I was watching American Got Talent. I don't watch very often. But this week I saw a guy. He stacked up 24. I turned this on. 24 chairs, and he got, that's not actually, that's less than 24, but, so anyway, he got to the top of the 24th chair, put his head down, and his feet up. That required some balance. You couldn't go to the left, you're going to go to the right. Actually, he did right in front of the judges, and they were just freaking out. They were like, you know, the fish expression. I was like, "Boy, let me get out of here, because I might end up in an emergency room." Spiritually speaking, here in John 1:14, the Bible says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was full of grace and truth. And definitely when I look at my parenting, gosh, do I need to find that balance? Sometimes I go too much on the truth side. Michelle sometimes on the grace side. So I help her, she helps me. And I have to apologize to my son to find that sweet spot. Grace and truth. I believe there is a spiritual equilibrium. As we can see here, Jesus was full of grace and truth. So we're reminding ourselves that God is with us day and night. That is a grace part of the equation. Then I read this scripture. 1 Corinthians 11:28. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. And when I read that, I was like, that's the truth part of the equation from a spiritual perspective. The Bible says, examine yourself. Not your wife, not your husband, not your brother in Christ, not your sister in Christ. Kids, don't examine your parents. Somewhere at the age that you can examine yourself. Yourself, if that makes sense. Examine yourself. I've been a disciple now for 23 years. And I've been asking myself, what will happen from now on? What will keep me moving spiritually for the next 23 years, God willing? Today's lesson is falling and staying in love with God. What is most important? As I thought about it, what will keep me moving for the next 23 years? I came to read this passage. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Other versions say this is the most important commandment in our lives. My first point today is gen fit. That has to do with the next generation, very similar to what Al was just mentioning. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, is actually Al read this morning. God is calling the parents to love God with all their hearts and with all their mind. But he also calls the parents and the adults not only for themselves to love God, but for them to teach the next generation God's commandments. To tell our children who God is and what God has done. To teach our children the most important things of all, that is to love God without your hearts. And I was looking, examining myself, and I was asking, what am I teaching my son? Am I teaching him that academic results are more important than God? That playing sports is more important than God? That being part of activities is more important than God? I'm all about having fun. But God states clearly that we should teach our children and help them to learn to love God with all their heart. That this is the most important thing. We're signing up for soccer, and some of them were trying to recruit G for academy soccer. I'm from Brazil, so they think I'm a great soccer player, which is not necessarily the truth. From Brazil, on my teams. I mean, you don't know, you're getting into it. I'm a Brazilian, but I don't play good soccer. So trying to recruit G to play academy soccer. It's like, well, what's the commitment? Training during the week and traveling during the weekend. And then we sign up for the recreational league. Train once a weekend. The game is on Saturday. And the lady said, what day you cannot practice? He was next to me and he said, Wednesday night. Am I saying it is wrong to play sports? No. But I had to have a conversation with him and he understood that Sundays in the morning, why we go to church? He said, because God is more important. And I'm telling you, brothers, I'm not mastering this. I'm just at the very beginning and try to deepen my conviction in God's plan for our lives. So what am I teaching? I remember a couple of years ago, I was going to the car show with my son every year. March, I believe. And after a couple of years, I realized, you know what? I don't think I'm sending him the right message. Is it sinful to drive a nice car or go to the auto show? Not necessarily. But knowing myself, where I came from when I studied the Bible, my conversion, it's like, this is just not helping me. And this is not the message that I want to pass on to him. So for 3 years, we haven't gone to the auto show. I'm auto show free. Maybe you can handle, but I can't. Because I don't want to get in debt of loving other things more than God. One sister who graduated from Harvard, Barbara Potter, she went on to be on the mission field for more than 30 years. She gave up her law career from Harvard. And we were having a time with her and her husband. He said, the United States might be the most difficult place on earth to raise our kids to become disciples. And the reason is because of materialism. You know, we see everything. It's pleasing to the eyes. Don't get me wrong. School, sports, they can be important, but they're not the most important according to God. We've been called to nourish our kids, to help them to grow spiritually. In Luke 1:80, the Bible talks about John the Baptist, and it says that the child grew and became strong in spirit. Other versions say in body and in spirit. And we can clearly see that our kids are growing up, no? For a long time, my son only had one pair of shoes. I'm not buying two. They're too expensive because in 6 months, I'm going to have to buy another one. So we were praying like, you know, I hope you don't lose this. Because if you do, I'm going to have to run to, you know, to Walmart and get a cheap pair of shoes. You know, the grocery bill is going up. You have to buy new clothes every 6 months. And it convicted me because he grew in spirit. And I was like, that will take a lot of effort. The church will help plant the seed, but it's up to the parents and to the adults to water and pray, so that God's message will grow in our children's heart. It will take a village to raise our children to love God with all their hearts. I appreciate my wife, Michelle. She's such a beautiful spiritual. She's exactly what I need to get to heaven. And she demonstrated so much love for some of the young girls. I think about Olivia. Olivia was coming almost every Saturday. Every other Saturday, she would come into our house to have breakfast, hanging out with Michelle. And today, she's in college. She has a boyfriend. We had actually went on a date with them. So, you know, Dan, I'm looking out for you there, bro. And, but I just feel that like she's part of our family. And the truth is sometimes we as parents just don't know how to do things. I'm going to help my kids. Well, ask. We've got so many great examples here. Like I said, Olive and Caroline, for example. It just inspires me just to see their love for God. And I went to them, Dan, what did you do? I have a boy, but I was so desperate to get help that even though he only had girls, I was like, man, what did you do so that I can help my son? And his answer said, I don't know, bro. I went back again and asked again, but we got so many great examples here in our church. Let's be humble and learn from one another. For those who have grown up children in their 20s or 30s, I want to encourage us not to lose faith or hope. Some of us got baptized in our 20s, in our 30s, in our 40s. God is working. In John 5, verse 17, the Bible says, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. We've got God and Jesus, both most powerful, working on our behalf and on our side. 23 years after I became a disciple, my brother sends me a text last week. Bro, can you send me a Bible study so that I can do it? 23 years later, I've been trying to plant the seed. And now God is trying to make it grow. God's making it grow. So let's not lose hope. However, we should not only examine myself, teach the kids to love God and obey God. But in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul is talking to Timothy and says, Timothy, you are young, but you need to set an example in speech and in conduct. And when I read that, I was like, well, Timothy was young, but this passage applies to me today. And I had to examine myself and said, am I being a good example for my son? In speech, sometimes losing my patience. In conduct, examining ourselves, finding the balance. Point number two, cardio fit. That is to love God without our hearts. In Ezekiel 11, the Bible says, they will return to it and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. We know of the importance of keeping and having a healthy physical heart. Spiritually speaking, it's just as important. I work in healthcare finance and administration, and millions of dollars are spent on research so that they can keep the heart beating, so that can keep people alive. I came to the U.S. in the early 90s as an international student. I had an undivided heart, but in the wrong direction. Towards the world, towards sin, towards money and career. And here, the Bible talks about that God will remove the heart of stone. Other version says, will remove the heart of stone, disobedient, and will give a heart of flesh, obedient to my teachings. And the spiritual heart transplant for me started when I decided to study the Bible with someone who not only knew the scriptures, but he was living it out. My heart was set on things on earth. My plan was to go back to Brazil and make a lot of money. And I started studying the Bible. The scriptures were changing my heart. I did, I'm going back, but I'm going back to serve God. Me and Michelle ended up moving to Brazil in 1999. We arrived in São Paulo, Brazil with four luggages, $100 in our pockets. We said, we're here. We want to serve God's church. And we did for 5 years. It was a special time. For some other reasons, we ended up coming back. We've been here for 13 years. And I've been in touch with the broads in the last few years, and God is working again in my heart. And I've got butterflies, fears. So, guys, are you considering moving back? I was like, I got to pray about that, bro. I need to grow in my faith for sure. But God is working. I say that because in our spiritual journey, I think we need to have several spiritual heart transplants. And I had to do this study to have the faith that if God restored my heart 23 years ago when I had less faith, less knowledge of the Bible, less Christian friends, for sure God can restore my heart today. Express your love for God. There's some words that if I say, it will get my son's attention. If you're talking to him and say, American Ninja Warrior, his eyes get big. If you say, arcade, it's another one. Dude Perfect, it's another one. Fidget Spinners, oh God, again. You know, his eyes are glowy. I remember when I was pursuing Michelle, we're not dating yet, as boyfriend and girlfriend. I went out on a date. I came back home at 11 p.m. I had two roommates. And they said, how was the date? I said, man, it was awesome. I think she at least likes me. I said, why'd you say that? I said, well, she hugged me for a few seconds and not for a fraction of a second. She smiled at me. Her body language was right there. It was like, I think she at least likes me. They go away. They come back with sunglasses. It's like, dude, what's... It's midnight. We're inside the house. I said, bro, you're shining like the noonday sun, man. I was like, well, it does make sense. And I was examining myself. Do my eyes glow when I read the scriptures? Do my eyes glow when I come to church? Or have I forgotten my first love? And if I have, God has the power to restore my heart. Express your love for God. In words, in Psalm it says, I love you, Lord, my strength. It says, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells, and reminds me of the body of Christ when we meet. I look at William, the teenager here. And you can tell, man, the guy, he's in love with God. The way he sings, the way he closes his eyes and singing. And that is so encouraging. To express our love for God verbally, through prayer, through songs, kids, singing to God. This is how it was my dad. He expressed a lot of his love for me with words. And that made me feel so loved. Let's go to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. Verse 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me, obey my teaching. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And that to me, studying the Bible, I could say I love God, but my actions were not showing it. I was not obeying the Bible. Actually, I didn't even know much about the Bible, so how am I going to obey something I don't even know? The first step was to study the Bible. And I had to ask myself, am I obeying the Bible? And I know that when we talk about obedience, everybody gets quiet. But obedience to the scriptures is essential for being a Christian. And here Jesus says, if you love me, you obey my teachings. Other version said, if you love me, you prove. If you obey my teachings, you prove that you love me. That's the truth part. That I had to look at the man in the mirror and see if, in fact, I'm obeying God's teachings. And I asked myself, how come I call myself a Christian, but I'm obeying Satan and disobeying God? John shared with us about Galatians 5. Talks about the sinful nature and the fruits of the Spirit. And I had to examine myself and said, am I obeying the sinful nature? Or am I obeying the fruit of the Spirit? What changes do I need to make? It's the grace and truth. It's the balance. And I don't say this for us to get discouraged, but we gotta look at the mirror and see, you know, where at spiritually and make decisions. And I ask myself, how am I dealing with the sin in my life? So I start studying. For the sake of time, if you can refer to John 5, verses 1 through 7, it talks about the paralytic that was by the tank for 38 years. Jesus came to him, said, do you want to get well? Yes, I want, but when I try to get in the tank, someone else gets in first. So he was examining the neighbor instead of looking at himself and saying, what do I need to do to get inside that tank? And I had to look at myself and see, how am I dealing with the sin in my life? Jesus will extend his hand, but it takes action. Sometimes I play Monopoly with my son. You know, Monopoly is kind of a long game. It takes a couple hours. And then after 2 hours sitting on the floor, my back gets stiff. So it's like, gee, can you help me out? You know, he gets up really quick. He's like, son, give me your hands. He's like, daddy, you're too heavy. It's like, please help me. So I extend my hand. He does his best. But he can't do all the way, correct? I've got to do my part. In looking at my life, I was like, man, yeah. Am I making the changes that God calls me to make? Or am I making excuses? So start looking at Muhammad Ali. My barbershop, there's a picture. It's this picture. And I believe it's a fight against Sonny Liston in May 1965, and I did some research. It said 1 minute and 44 seconds into the first round, Ali's right fist connected with Liston's chin, and Liston went down. It's like, that's how I need to attack the scene in my life. First round, first minute. Boy, that guy was determined. And I was looking at myself, examining my heart. Have I been this determined to deal with the sin in my life? We gotta celebrate our victories. And if you ended the day, I was patient. Amen. Celebrate that. It gives us confidence for the next one.
So why should we obey God? Here, you see these parents. I think they feel pretty loved, no? So kids, when you get home today, give your dad a kiss, give your mom a kiss. They're going to feel loved. Anybody here enjoys feeling loved? Everybody. It can be different for different things. You know, presents or a hug. For Michelle, it's a kiss from her son. And I was thinking about myself. I said, why will I obey God? It's like, I want to obey God because I want to make God feel loved by me. That is why I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to give my offering. Not that we're going to be perfect. We've got to find the balance. As I remember with my dad, he told me, if you pass the Brazilian college exam, you will go to school in the U.S. So my last year of high school, I was studying, quit surfing, quit going out, studying the whole year. Because if I pass that test, I would come to the U.S. And at the end, I was 2.5 points away from passing. And I felt really discouraged. I went to my room, I laid down on my bed, and then my mom comes and said, your dad wants to see you. I was like, man, what am I going to say to him? You know, I was studying full time, and I didn't pass. She said, Dad, I failed. He said, I know. He said, it's over. I'm not going to the U.S. anymore. He said, no, you will. But how come? You told me that if I didn't pass, I wouldn't go. But he said, I still love you. I still believe in you. I said, but Dad, I didn't even pass the test, the exam in Portuguese. How am I going to pass the exam in English? And my dad said, I still believe in you. And I think sometimes we will be there, not obeying God as we should. But I think God is like that with us. He loves us. He still believes in us that we can change. And to finalize, neurofit, it has to do with neurology. Love God with all your mind. Here you see a colored mind, that's Jesus. And the black mind in the darkness, that's me. Love God with all your mind. Isaiah says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. To love God with our mind is to think about God. Now, I remember when I was a teenager, I grew up going to church, then I stopped when I was 12 years old. And I was thinking, and I started doing my own things. And I remember, it's not a good example for my son, but it's days after days went by, and I did not even think about God. I only thought about him when I needed something. That's not loving God with all my mind. God wants us to have him on our minds. I remember pursuing Michelle, and the brother gave me an idea because she's very good with calligraphy. So he said, give her a project, a long project. And make her write all this project in calligraphy. He said, good. So I gave it to her. She said, yeah. So a week later, she came back guilty. I'm sorry, bro. I couldn't finish. I said, it's all right. Take your time. Week after week, she's busy, you know, working, studying. Week after week, she'll come back. I didn't finish. It's okay. Take your time, because my goal was for her to think about me. So as long as she had that project on her list, there was some hope that she would at least think that I am a person and I'm alive. I think God left us the Bible so that we can think about him.
and to pick up our Bibles and read. I know I have a lot of changes to make as well. We cannot think that we're going to overcome our temptations, Satan, and temptations and sin, if we're not reading the scriptures in a consistent basis. Satan is stronger than me if I'm not close to God. But in Isaiah 40, 29, it says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So we are weak without God, but with God we shall overcome Satan's temptations. I'm not going to take too much of your time, but the way God thinks is very different than the way humans think. And this I learned when I was studying the Bible, how God thinks about the relationship between a man and a woman before marriage, purity. I thought differently. How to resolve conflicts. To forgive, I did not think like that. The priorities of my life, what should be. God thinks in a different way. Here is the Joshua, the wall. The plan is to march around, blow the trumpets, and the wall will come down. I was watching VeggieTales, and it says about that some of them, God's people said, no, what we really need is serious firepower. So they unveiled that missile. That's the way we think. Once again, we got to be intentional to think like God thinks. Loving God with our hearts is to think like God thinks. Once again, this is a comparison. How God thinks, the fruit of the Spirit, and how human thinks, Galatians, sinful nature. To finalize, I work in healthcare, and for one time I worked for the Department of Neurosurgery. And basically, it's brain surgery. They're cutting people's head and fixing it up and closing it. It's amazing what the work that they do. And because of the technology today, they have a new tool called CyberKnife. And that's what you see there. There's not one drop of blood during this procedure. The laser targets exactly the tumor in the brain, and obviously it wants to remove the tumor without damaging the brain. And spiritually speaking, I thought, the sinful nature is a tumor in my brain. But with the scriptures, with prayer, and with the fellowship, we can remove all the sinful nature from our minds. Satan wants to control our minds. However, in Philippians 4:8, Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right and pure and lovely, think about such things. May the message of the cross be alive in our hearts and our minds. And let's not only fall in love with God, but stay in love with God. Make our best effort to be gen fit, that is, to pass on to the next generation God's teachings. To be cardio fit, to love God with our hearts, and to be neuro fit, that is, to love God without our minds. Despite of the challenges we might face in our lives, may you feel God's love each and every day of your life. But may you decide to live a life in such a way that will make God feel loved by you. May the Bible guide our hearts, minds, and actions. Thank you. Amen.